Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. And then Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Lord, thank you for what you have in store for us today as we seek to understand how this word that we've read applies in our lives. We pray for grace and for your Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done to accomplish not just temporary work, but eternal fruit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on the theme of prayer. It's been my goal to both encourage as well as to challenge this body of believers to hit the weight room, spiritually speaking, and build up our prayer muscles. Now, the reason we do this, and prayer muscles not just individually but corporately, and the reason we've laid out for you why we do this is because the Bible commands us as the people of God to pray. Paul told the church at Colossae to be devoted to prayer. He told the church at Thessalonica to pray continually, or in the King James, pray without ceasing. He told the church at Ephesus to be praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayers for all the saints. And in Philippi, he told the church that in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's pretty clear the church of God is commanded to pray. Beyond that, however, tying back to what we just talked about a moment ago, prayer is a reflection of our creaturely dependence upon the Creator. Prayer says, I get it. I'm a branch. He's the vine. Conversely, prayerlessness says, I don't need you. Prayerlessness says, I believe the lie that the devil sold to Adam and Eve. I can be a god. I can do life apart from you. Prayer also, the reason we do this is God has given us very great and precious promises in his word. I mean, we can go through hundreds and thousands of promises, and they're accessible by faith through prayer. James said that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. John said that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. In fact, Jesus said that whatever you ask for in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why wouldn't we want to pray with promises like that? But another reason I've got this goal of trying to challenge and encourage you to pray is because I get the fact that healthy churches are praying churches. The scripture teaches it and research confirms it. The healthy church, not form prayers or ritual prayers or non-vibrant prayers. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm talking about prayer that connects with the living God. Healthy churches have prayer permeate every part of their being. And finally, we've been stressing this importance of prayer because if you study every great awakening and every great revival, almost without exception, what you'll find is it's preceded by the saints of God desperately seeking God on their knees. We believe an awakening is coming. Newsflash, there is somebody who doesn't want it to come. Do you think he's simply going to go, oh, white flag, I surrender? Oh, Calvary is saying they want to see a revival. I give up. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, folks, but rulers and authorities and spiritual wickedness and all this stuff, the powers, and they don't give without you claiming what God has done through Christ at the cross and praying through to that breaks. That stronghold breaks, and God comes in with power and glory. The revivals and awakenings of history tell us that. So we could talk all we want about seeing God move. We can believe all we want about God moving. But unless we're serious enough to get on our face before God and hunger and thirst for the things of God, I don't see it happening in our generation. It'll wait somebody else that's hungry enough and desperate enough to get it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life with what could have been. I want to get done, well done, good and faithful servant. You gave all that you had for my kingdom. So that's why we're straight. That's why I've taken you to the gym and why I've been giving you these core workouts. I know I'm using this little imagery, but hopefully the visual picture will stick for you. That I've given you core workouts to get you started in praying. Some of them we start with just little two-pound weights. Just a little thing. All you had to do was look up a Bible verse that I even gave you on a piece of paper. In fact, we have extras of these in the back table. All you had to do was open it up to that passage and read the prayer as if it were your prayer. Little two-pound weight. I didn't ask you to start with a three-hour prayer meeting trying to lift 200-pound prayer weights. Heard ya! I started with a little two-pounder. Out of the depths, I cry to you, oh Lord. Two-pound. Just a little thing to get you going. And then I threw on a little extra weight because I got you in little prayer clusters. I've noticed since we did that prayer cluster that people aren't coming anymore. Relax. I'm not going to do that to you again today. Although you ought not to be afraid of it. Anyhow, we got you in prayer classes, but even there, we didn't even ask you to make up a prayer. I helped you there. I mean, as a trainer, I'm coming along saying, all you have to do is fill in one or two words. Thank you, Lord, for you. Okay, that's it, one word. And I know, because I've talked to you, you can at least say you. Blessings. You can say one word things. I know, because I've talked to you. But somehow you panic when it's in front of people. You're not talking to them. You're talking to God. They just happen to be with you. So we stretched you a little bit. And then we said, you know what? We're going to stretch a little bit further. We're going to ask you to actually do something. We're going to have you get up and come to a prayer meeting. I've noticed that not everybody wanted to go to the weight room for that one. Those little weights are still sitting on the shelf collecting dust. We wanted you to grab those 3 to 5 pound weights because every Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11, behind that wall, we gather for prayer. And I didn't ask you to go in there and curl 100 pounds. I just asked you to go in there and spend 5 minutes just to seek God. Do you know what would happen in our services if we had 40 or 50 people back there crying out for God's glory to come into this body? We wouldn't have to wait to get warmed up because we'd be ready from the opening prayer. Let's go into the presence of God. But that means something. That means you have to get up earlier and get to church sooner to get into the back room so you can pray. And the flesh isn't willing. Oh, the spirit's willing. Oh, I'm there with you in thought and prayer. I'm with you in spirit. I want to encourage you. Then we added a few more weights. We got you up to some 10-pounders because we wanted you to start developing your own prayers. But even there, we gave you some help. We talked about the ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We talked about the Lord's Prayer, Kanamala. The goal here, folks, is to get you lifting prayers on a regular basis. To get you lifting prayer. That's where we were working to develop. Now, some of you still got some saggy muscles. They're still flapping in the wind. Okay? You can do the 15-second grace before an hour meal, but I want to encourage you as we move forward. The goal is to make prayer a way of life. But I figure we have to start somewhere. I want God to sculpt your prayer muscles, that you are strong and healthy when it comes to prayer. Now, I want to build on this theme today of prayer by taking a look at a message I've entitled Sets and Reps. Sets and Reps. If you've ever gone to a gym and had a trainer actually show you what to do and you didn't just wander around like you had no clue, normally what they'll do is they'll come in and they'll assess you and then they help you develop a program or a routine that you follow. Usually there's an aerobic component, and if the gym is big enough, they'll get you either swimming or running or a treadmill or Stairmaster or EFX or bike, something to get the heart pumping, get the cardiovascular system working. And then usually they'll want you to do some flexibility things because they don't want you to tear anything. And also flexibility is really good for the body, etc. Okay? But then there's usually the strengthening component or the weights component. And they'll get you in there, and sometimes they'll have you on the free weights, but often if it's a big enough gym, it has all the machines, and they usually try to develop a routine where you have different muscle groups that get worked out. So they may do the legs today, may do the arms, or may do the pecs, the delts, all this stuff. And they help you get in shape. And normally what they do is they go, okay, here's what we want you to do. We want you just to put the highest weight on and try to lift it. No, they don't do that. They get a weight that works for you to start, and they get it where you can do it for repetitions, or what we call reps. They try to get you maybe 10 or 15 reps at a particular weight where you can actually do it. It puts a little strain on you, but not so much that you hear a loud ripping noise. Ripping noises are not good when you're lifting. Not good. Screaming in pain as something snaps is not good. But they get you lifting. And they get the reps. And then they do something weird. They have you stop. They have you do 10 to 15 reps, and then they have you wait. They have you wait a minute or two before they have you do another set of reps. So there's reps, wait, reps, wait, reps. Done with that. I see in that a spiritual analogy. To this point, I focused on prayer primarily as you offering up to God. Thank you, Lord, for. Help me, Lord, to. I adore you. I confess. We've primarily focused on it going up to God. The danger is that's all you see prayer to be. That's how you define it. So that prayer simply becomes you lifting your requests to the Lord. But there's also, if I could be punny for a minute, a season where you need to wait in the weight room, where you stop. Because we don't want to fall into the trap that Jesus warns people about in Matthew chapter 6, where the pagans, the vain babblings, the going on and on and on and on and on and on and on, where you wonder if God, if he wanted to say something, could even get a word in edgewise. I usually refer to this as prayer, I'm a gross term, but prayer diarrhea, where it just keeps pouring out of your mouth. Now, granted, there's seasons where your heart is overwhelmed and you pour out your heart, but at some point, take some spiritual kaopectate and shut up. Because prayer is not just a one-way street going up to God. Prayer is a two-way street where you and God are both involved in the prayer. Put it this way. And this is what I want you to go. This is your takeaway. Prayer is more than a monologue. It's a dialogue. Prayer is more than a monologue. Say that with me. Prayer is more than a monologue. It's a dialogue. Are you sure that's biblical, Pastor? Well, let's take a look at the text. Psalm chapter 5. Look what David says again. Give ear to my words. Okay, he's lifting the weights. Consider my sighing, lifting the weights. Listen to my cry for help. He's doing his reps. My King, my God, for to you I pray. More reps. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. More reps. In the morning, I lay my request before you. More reps. And wait. An expectation. He's lifted his requests. He's lifted his burdens. He's lifted his praises. And then he gets quiet. And he just waits. He waits in the weight room. Just waits. Take a look at Psalm 130 in that same light. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord, lifting weights. O Lord, hear my voice. Up. Let your ears be attentive to my cry. Lifting up. And then he jumps down to verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. You see that? The waiting. And that's not just the only two places. We'll throw out a couple of other ones for you just so you can see it. Take a look at Psalm 38, verse 15. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. Two chapters later, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Over in Lamentations chapter 3, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And again, over in Micah 7:7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Prayer is more than just verbalization of your words to God. Prayer is more than just you petitioning God. It's more than you just offering up supplications. It's also you sitting and waiting and listening. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to speak audibly. Aaron, this is God. Okay? Now, can God speak that way? I mean, I don't think he'd speak that weirdly. But could God speak? Yes, he could speak audibly. Don't get me wrong, God can. He's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But usually that's not the way he does it, with an external voice audible outside yourself. But often what will happen is if you and I will be still and know that he's God long enough, he will speak by his Spirit to our spirit. He will impress upon you maybe something from the Scripture that will just come home for you like a light bulb goes on. He may impress upon you someone he wants to pray you to pray for. He may impress upon you some aspect of his love to you, some part of his character to you. God will speak to your heart in such a way that prayer becomes more than monologue. It's dialogue. And once you start to get that, prayer then becomes more than just the quiet time. Now, quiet times are important. Don't get me wrong. Daniel, three times a day, set aside time for God. And I would encourage you. Some of you are night owls. Trying to do a morning prayer time just doesn't cut it. I know David, it worked for him. For you, it isn't going to be productive. Then do it at night. But find a time that you carve out that's your time with God. But don't just make that all. Because see, if prayer is dialogue, then all day I want to be listening. All day, I want to be bringing requests. All day, I want it to be interactive. See, that's the essence of prayer. And that's why when you get this, prayer becomes more than a ritual you finish, more than a to-do item on your list that you check off. Got that done, the rest of the day is mine. Prayer becomes your communion with God by his Holy Spirit. And sometimes, this may surprise you, you and God don't even have to say a thing. You just have to be together. Now, my wife and I, there are times that we will sit together and not say anything, but we've said everything. We've just been together. God, the creator of the universe, wants some hang time with you and with me. He could demand it. He could force it. He could allow you to get all kinds of horrible illnesses. He could do whatever he has to get your attention. Just ask Jonah. You're not going to listen to me, Jonah, while you're running. Okay, I'm going to stop you from running. How do you like acid from a fish stomach? Do I have your attention now? Read Jonah. Okay, God, you got my attention. Out of the depths, I cry to you. How much more if we come? There's a song we sang today. One day every tongue will confess, and we know that's true, but how much more for those who willingly do so? Now, I'm not saying that God is this meanie or this awful guy who's going to beat you down. I'm just saying that God wants a relationship with you. God longs to have a relationship with you. God wants more than just a few minutes prayer in the morning, a couple Bible verses, and say you're done. God wants to have chats with you all day. He wants to interact with you. He wants your whole day to be alert to him. And that, folks, is what we talk about praying without ceasing. We're not talking about you and God when it says pray without ceasing, that for 24 hours, you do all the talking. Now, I know he's God, but if I were God and you were talking 24 hours, I'd say, shut up. He doesn't do that. He'd hear your cry. The point I'm making is that praying without ceasing, if we reduce it to simply me offering up petitions 24/7, then I've missed what prayer is all about. Prayer is more than a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. Now, I could spend the rest of this message, if I chose to elaborate on this point. But I'm going to illustrate my point by stopping the message and just finishing with this application. Here's what I want you to do to put in practice. He's like, oh no, he's going to do something to us here. I know he is. Just relax. First of all, on the back table, we have these little sheets, little quarter page sheets that encourages you, pick them up on the way out, encourages you to keep up your workouts. Continue those, you know, a day, a week, do a scripture prayer. A couple days a week, keep doing the Acts prayer, the Lord's prayer. And gasp, take one day and actually go spontaneous on me. You mean you're not going to tell me how to? You're right. Why don't you and God just chat? And then in those times, sometime during the week, I want you to take at least a couple of times. I want you to allow for 5 minutes of silent waiting on the Lord between sets of prayer. A couple times this week. So this week, what I want you to do is I want you to carve out in your time of prayer, I want you to do your prayer, lifting your burdens before the Lord, and then I want you just to be still in his presence for about 5 minutes. Don't get legalistic on me. Don't get weird. Set the timer. Okay? But I want you, it's more the principle than it is the actual. All of this, folks, it's not like the Bible says do this. It tells us to pray. I'm just trying to come alongside as a trainer and help you become more comfortable praying. Got that? So if you don't do this, but you're still praying, that's fine. But for those of you who need a kind of a step-by-step getting started because you're not used to the gym, this is just a way to help you get started. If you're used to working out, you know, and you're aerobically in shape and you regularly lift, you don't need me to tell you to lift 3-pound weights. I know. You can do that on your own. But for those who have no idea, who tell me, I know I should pray. I really want to pray. I say everything I know how to say in prayer and I look at my watch, it's a minute and a half. I have no idea what to do next. I'm just helping you out to help you get past that, to get over the hump. Because once you do and you find out how sweet it is to spend time with God, how awesome it is to walk with God, to be going through the day and all of a sudden have him download stuff that you couldn't know, that he gives you counsel and wisdom so you know what he's calling you to do, to provide encouragement or comfort to somebody, to call somebody. It's the coolest thing where you and the Lord are in constant communion with each other and you just feel this prompting. You need to call so-and-so. And you call them up and they're like, no way that you just called me. Why? Because I was just saying, Lord, I don't know what to do and I just need someone to reach out to me. And you just called. That is so cool to be part of God's adventure. So that's what we're going to do. Now, here's how we're going to finish today. Short sermon today. Because again, I don't have to take a lot of words to get the point across. I've asked the team to play that song again, Word of God Speak. And it talks about we don't have to have a lot of words. So they're going to play it once through, and then they're going to just do some instrumental, and we're just going to sit quietly in the Lord's Prayer. You can kneel, you can come to the altar, but don't talk to them. Just be quiet and listen to them. You all right with that? Okay, we can pray for you if this is too much for you. You good? Do you understand my heart as your pastor? And I'm asking you to do this because we're in this together. I truly want to see what God has. But Sunday, oh, I forgot to say this to you. If you take the 5 minutes and you fall asleep, that probably means you're sleep deprived. Okay? Get more rest at night. Yeah. Just be an Elijah and sleep. Get rest. If you've done that and you're still doing that, go see a doctor. But what I want you to do is I want you to be able just to be still. Now, what will happen for some of you is your minds are so used to racing that you're going to sit there, okay, after church, okay, now we're going to get the roast, we're going to go to the grocery store, we're going to get pressure. Oh, man, I got to go to Walmart because that's what they're... It's going to be hard to focus, especially if you're not used to doing this. You may get all of about 10 seconds and then everything will start sipping. Just be still. Let the thoughts in and out. Just let them go. Okay? This isn't like, you know, transcendental meditation where you go, and you stare at your navel and do something weird, sing kumbaya and toast weenies at the fire. This is you preparing your heart to be still and know that he's God. Does that make sense? Lord, thank you, even for just a few minutes of white space, a few minutes of margin, where we're not so crammed full that we don't stop and pause. And remember that you are God. As you did that exercise and spent a few minutes, what did you discover? She said that she has trouble shutting off her brain because she always wants to talk and not listen. It's good. We're not trained to do that. We're not trained to stop like that. We're on information overload as a culture. Dr. Swenson said that in the old days, there was a season where we operated where there was work and then there was rest. He said then we moved from work up to fatigue, and now we're in burnout. And the only way to reclaim that is to carve out those times to have those margin times of waiting on the Lord.